Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's message series, Invisible. But first, here's his message, Warfare Prayer.
Take God's word and turn with me, please, to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to remind you for just a moment where we've been so far in our Invisible series. And in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, we have been engaged in spiritual battle, understanding our enemy and responding, resisting in the name and in the power of our great Savior, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to remind you that we've learned that Satan is a defeated foe. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, the works of the devil. And one day, He will cast him into eternal judgment and hell. I want us to remind ourselves that the power of Christ is in our lives. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The same power that defeated Satan at the cross, in the resurrection, by the power of the resurrection, that same power, that very same presence is indwelling us, living in us. We need to always resist the enemy. You have the power in Jesus' name. You have the authority because of His shed blood and because of His victory. You can live in the victory that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, we must not be ignorant or uninformed regarding His schemes, His snares. Therefore, we're to put on the armor of God, this spiritual armor that we have seen described in Ephesians chapter 6. We are to put on the armor of God. It is foolish to enter battle of any kind without protection. And God has given us these weapons for our warfare. The battle is in the mind, and therefore we are to take every thought captive in His name. We are to feed upon the word and obey the principles, mighty, which are powerful weapons to the pulling down of strongholds. But there's one more vital lesson that we must learn and apply, and it's seen here in the 18th verse of Ephesians 6. Because for so many, this is the missing piece. This is the missing ingredient to living in this victory that we have in Christ. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me by the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. It's essential if you are in battle to stay in touch, stay in communication with the commander in chief. And so in our spiritual battles, we must be constantly in touch, in prayer with our Savior. Prayer is the invisible energy, the invisible force behind the believer's armor that is laced through and through our armor, the weapons of our warfare. I look at our nation. Unbelief is rampant and militant. The name of Jesus is profaned and blasphemed. Morality, even perversion, is a common experience for so many today. Morality is in a free fall. Demonic activity is on the rise. The family is under attack. Marriage is being redefined. Babies are aborted. Drunkenness and drug addiction are commonplace. Violence is increasing. And that's just in America, because around the world, spiritual warfare is very, very real. The church is persecuted. There are more Christians dying for their faith in this generation than any previous generation. And while we face some opposition for our faith in this country, in other parts of the world, people who stand for Christ are facing genuine, authentic, fierce persecution for Christ and the gospel's sake. Yes, we are at war. And the only way to win this war is in the name of Jesus to put on the armor of God and to pray with power. So this is a battle cry. And the battleground is believing prayer. Prayer is not preparation for battle. Prayer is the battle. And it is in prayer, the power of passionate praying, that we find our strength. When you read verse 18, look at it carefully. You may see some punctuation there. And of course, there were no punctuation marks in the original text of the New Testament. So you could actually remove that punctuation mark in the way that it is written. For it says at verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. This is not a disconnect from one verse to the next, but rather it is in praying that we activate the armor, that we engage the enemy. And so with the same breath of the Holy Spirit that tells us to put on the armor of God, we are therefore to be energized in prayer of all kinds, praying in the Spirit. The Bible speaks often of this kind of prayer. Colossians 4:12 speaks of our struggling in prayer. It's a word which means agonizing, contending, struggling. Now, prayer is worship. And we know that. We worship God in prayer. Prayer is work. It is a mental and spiritual discipline in which we are to work at our commitment to prayer, the exercise of prayer. But prayer is not only worship and work, prayer is warfare. Prayer is war. Jesus said in Mark 14:38, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. On one occasion, the disciples of Jesus were trying to cast out evil spirits from a demoniac boy, and they couldn't do it. And they were frustrated at their failure. Jesus came down from the mountain where he had been communing with God the Father along with Moses and Elijah there at the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus said, this kind of deliverance, this kind of power comes only by prayer and fasting. Sincere, steadfast, struggling prayer. When Peter was facing temptation, Jesus looked at him and said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, to grind you into powder. But then Jesus said, I have prayed for you. In behalf of this man, Jesus prayed against the powers and the works of the enemy. The early church knew this kind of power, this kind of warfare praying. When Jesus told them to gather in an upper room, they did exactly as they were commanded. And what were they doing in that upper room, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit? They were praying. The Spirit came, and then God moved, and lives were changed. Thousands of people were being brought into the kingdom of God as the church was birthed. So what did the church do in Acts chapter 2? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayers. Prayer wasn't just a part of the agenda. It was and is the agenda. Personally and corporately as the church. So the church advanced because of prayer. God brought more and more people into the kingdom because these were men and women who knew how to pray. The powers of darkness and strongholds of Satan and religion and all the rest, they knew how to pray that away in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, on their way to the temple before the first miracle of the first century church, what were Peter and John doing on their way to the temple that day? They were going there to pray. Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were in prison for their faith, What did the church do? The church prayed. They had no contacts with the higher ups. They had no political persuasion. They had no ability to coerce the judgments of powerful Roman imperialists. So what did they do? They huddled up and they prayed, and God opened prison doors and delivered Simon Peter and John. Prayer. When we pray like this, walls come down, strongholds are destroyed, lives are transformed. Anytime this is happening, anytime you see the power of God at work in a supernatural way, in a powerful way, it is because someone is praying. Amen? What kind of prayer is this? See the prevailing power of prayer. The prevailing power of prayer. Verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit. The Spirit intercedes with us. He is our prayer partner. This is what it means to pray in the Spirit. And prayer, therefore, means that we cooperate with God Almighty, that God Himself moves in response to our prayers. Prayer is the church's secret weapon. In contrast to that, prayerlessness is the signal of our defeat, the quickest way to defeat. I look at my own life. Any failure that I've had in my life is ultimately a prayer failure. Because I have failed to pray as I ought to pray, Satan fears our prayers more than anything we do. Prayer is the greatest weapon in defeating the snares and the strategies and the schemes of the devil. This is something the devil doesn't want you to know.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Warfare Prayer. At this very moment,